This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la vacuna que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20. Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes,
y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42,
puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Conan, guess what?
Yo, what up?
Got a new sponsor and it's perfect for this time of year. Bird Dogs. Stretch khaki shorts are designed to fit slimmer through the thigh and leg and give you a truly sculpted look. Now, here's the issue. Summertime in Vegas, and especially I'm going back home to Atlanta, right? I can't wear shorts, like regular shorts, right. You know, because right. It's too hot, it gets too sweaty. You know, shorts, like typical shorts, like dress shorts, are made of like, you know, restrictive cotton, it's right. Kind of stiff, right? Well, Bird Dogs fits this issue by inventing cloud knit fabric that looks just like the khaki, but stretches so you get a way slimmer fit without having to sacrifice movement. And it uses anti-stink sweat wicking fabric that keeps you cool and dry all day long, right? So this is just a perfect product. I have to wear athletic shorts all the time in Vegas because it's so hot. I can't wear right. the regular shorts. This is right. the perfect fit. They look like dress shorts. They fit like athletic shorts. They're loose. They're not restrictive. They're perfect.
Here's a great part of it because we all got a pair, but they have like an inside lining, which makes everything really, really comfortable. And just the material is very comfortable. And on top of that, like their pants, they don't feel really tight and they're really comfortable and they look sweet.
Right. They fit like that, like the comfort of athletic shorts, but they look like dress shorts.
Right.
That would be the best way to put it. And when you go to birddogs.com, that's birddogs.com/K100, you get a free Yeti style tumbler with your order. That's birddogs.com/K100 for a free Yeti style tumbler. You won't want to take your Bird Dogs off, we promise you.
There's a great product. Get your shorts and pants on comfortably with a sweet, sweet look to them at Bird Dogs. Boom.
Okay, next one's from Dale M. Fortunio, and the title was Caramel or Caramel Karma. People say it different, but hey, guys, I wanted to hold off on a wrestling question this time around because I figured this is hilarious and you'd appreciate this. Ben and Jerry's has asked for the government to hand back Mount Rushmore's land back to the Native Americans they stole it from. In response, a Native American tribe in Vermont has asked for the land that Ben and Jerry's has their plant based on back. I've attached a link below for this classic case of irony. What company or product have you stopped using because of antics such as this? P.S. Disco, I understand your fantasy excitement for Bijan Robinson, but when are the Falcons going to address their bottom feeding defense? Go Giants.
I don't know. The guy's a Giant fan. I should suspend him for a week. The Giants fans are morons.
There's a long article here, but you guys get the gist of it, right?
No. I got the gist of the I saw the article. Basically, Ben and Jerry's going in. They've always been social justice warriors and kind of they got that hate America type rhetoric, you know. So they basically said that that they should give back the land that Round Mushroom is on because it's on indigenous land, right? But their store is on indigenous land.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's
right?
So okay, you want to give it? We'll give yours back. You know,
right.
just a tremendous cell phone. You know, it's like you're trying to be the social justice warrior that you thought you're just the bro. That's why I like stories like this, because it just shows like the virtue signaling is usually grounded in massive hypocrisy, you know, which is exactly what happened here, I just love stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's next?
But now what was the question?
Well, it says also, have you ever stopped using any products because of this kind of, nonsense?
Nah.
Like how people boycott at Bud Light or Coca-Cola or the Razor Company or whatever else.
For example, the Daily Wire had a thing with Harry, Harry's Razors, like basically like disavowed some of the things from the Daily Wire. So they made up they made their own razor called Jeremy's Razors. Right. I still use Harry's Razors sometimes. I don't care. I couldn't give a rat's ass about stuff like that. I'm not the type of person who's going to boycott stuff that I use. You know, that's like kind of like a just like basic stuff I use. You know, I couldn't care less about that. So
why have you stopped using something, Joe?
I don't drink Bud Light anymore.
You've used a drink, but I never drank Bud Light.
Yeah.
Terrible.
I've been a light beer
guy. Seriously.
You had a commercial with a transsexual, and now you stop liking it?
It just doesn't have anything to do with the transgender person. It has to do with them shoving it at people. Just, you know, you're a beer company. Just don't watch it.
Yeah, well, don't watch it, dude.
I know.
Well, he didn't. He decided not to drink the beer.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Your voice can be heard, right?
Based on the fact that they used a transsexual
they insulted their drinkers in that conference call.
Right.
They basically called all the drinkers white trash, you know, and shit like that. We want to expand our customer base because only white trash.
What happened to Bud Light is.
What do you consider yourself, bourgeois or some shit?
No, I'm just a Philly area dude. I don't know.
Well, here's the thing. It's like there's a culture right now, especially in social media, where everybody wants to punish somebody for screwing up. Like if Joe screws up or like Joe's on the podcast and maybe he's reading his story and he uses the N-word, right? And because he's reading something. And of course, everybody and the mother would like to punish him for making that error, right? Well, this is like kind of like the thing where Bud Light made kind of like an error. So everybody and their mothers pointed out of like punishing them for their error. It's like, how on earth did you think that?
And it's a made, and it's a, and it's a, and it's a self-inflicted,
sort of like, right.
And it's a self-inflicted wound because it ain't like they don't know their fucking audience. What did he think of these rednecks and, you know, average Philly guys and white trash and all these other trailer trash and all these, you know,
right.
I mean, we know what it is, right? Nobody needs to be offended. It is what it is. So, you know, how did you think they were going to react?
Yeah,
I mean, they're in big trouble.
You know how to read your own room,
right? And then they are getting punished for doing it. And like, eventually, people will probably start drinking Bud Light again down the road and stuff. It's like you basically publicly insulted your fan base or your demographic that you market to, your consumers. Well, and a lot of them say, okay, well, screw you.
Can you imagine, like, if you saw, like, in the commercial, a bunch of bikers, right, and they're fucking drinking, and then all of a sudden you see a bunch of fucking, like, guys that chop wood and shit, like, they're chopping wood, and they're drinking beer, roofers. And they're in some fucking cars, and all of a sudden they all meet at, like, this truck stop, and they're all like, hey, what's up, and cheers, you know, that's it, that's all you had to do, that's who your fucking audience is.
They did make a big mistake. They all arrive together, and it's a football tailgate. Or something like that.
Yeah, you know? Some shit like that. Yeah, the people that drink your beer, you know?
I want to see that. So, let me ask you a question, Joe. Look this up. Well, you can't look it up because you're doing the mail.
I can look it up on my phone.
I'm wondering, I'm wondering how, like a movie like when Brokeback Mountain came out, right. I wonder how it played in like Wyoming, Texas, right. You know, like the town, like West, like the cowboy states, you know, I wonder like I wonder how, like what the numbers were like for how the theaters did as opposed to like, you know, San Francisco or Seattle, you know, up the Pacific Northwest area, you know, the East Coast, up around New York, like more progressive, you know, places when that movie came out. You know what? I know. I think that'd be interesting. It's like, because I couldn't think that, like, a bunch of cowboys went to go see that movie. You know, I would not. That's just my thinking. Like, would you think that, like guys, like, would you think a bunch of, like, rodeo guys that participated in rodeo, Conan, like six or seven, right. like, rodeo guys got together and went to go see Brokeback Mountain together? Right. Like, no, I just couldn't. Yeah. Yeah, maybe. And I'm like, yes, yeah, it's kind of weird. I don't know. So, all right, what's the next show?
Yeah, I can't really find it by state.
All right.
But it did make $180 million.
What is your stance, Disco? Because the guy was saying, oh, well, you know, there's people who want to get rid of Mount Rushmore and give it to the Indians. And what do you think of stuff like that?
I don't know. I think it's our country is very I think our country is the best in the world based on the freedoms that we have here, right? Because we've traveled the world, like I like our country the best, right? But right. like there is massive amounts of hypocrisy the way we look at the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. Like we're just assuming that like you're like we're the best, we're virtuous and stuff and thing. And like people look at us and like, well, what about the indigenous people? Like you kick them off their heads, stuff, you know, like there's right. If you look at like what other people think of us, it's like there's a lot of hypocrisy in our you know, the United States, like the way we treat the rest of the world based on the way we treated people that live here, you know, like, so the way we treat each other is like kind of, it's very hypocritical the way we kind of like think that the rest of the world should act. And then they're looking at us like, well, you don't really know how to act in your own country. The way I look at it, it's like, you know, so I don't know. I just like, I have my belief system and I try to find other people that share the same belief system. And that's the way you do this, I think. Yeah,
it's always been sad to me that you know the Native Americans were here before the Pilgrims and helped them survive the harsh winter and broke bread with them, and they were actually killed by greed. And it was actually the second generation, because I think the first generation I know was so happy that they helped them out and, you know, gave them the lay of the land and show them how to fucking, you know. And then the second ones, the greedy ones, the offsprings were the ones that started shit with them, enslaved them. Then they started putting them like on reservations that still exist. And they have like their own police and their own laws.
Yeah.
Bro, I wonder, and I know for a fact, because I've shouted them out before, I wonder if any Native American that listens to the show would let us know, do you like being on a reservation? How is life on a reservation? Because, bro, when I went to the wrestle, it was like the Wild Wild West. You know, and I think this right. giving back land and all that, I don't know if that's the answer or if there's another way. I know that a lot of places have casinos, but I've always been against removing stuff unless it's some racist shit like statues in the South. If it makes African-Americans uncomfortable, you know, let them decide, not us. The Confederate flag, even though I look at it as a relic of the past and how ignorant we were back then, and you obviously evolve because less people think that way than ever. But, you know, again, if African Americans are not comfortable with that, you need to eradicate that too. Because, bro, maybe in 15 years, people are going to be pointing fingers at us that we were ignorant for shit. But yeah, sure. But it wasn't ignorant right now.
Right.
You can't, while you're living in the moment.
Right. You can't punish people for crimes of the past.
Right.
When they weren't.
When they were social mores were normal.
But people didn't really consider them crimes at the time.
Right.
You know, so right. Yeah, they were social norms, you know. And that's one thing that a lot of the progressives like to do. They're trying to punish us for things that like that was generally accepted. And I'll just say, like, you know, if you, like, and the funny thing is, like, a lot of it's turned on kind of like the right wingers. But it's right. like, dude, it's like if you look at like some of the stuff from like for the left, like look at Howard Stern. He was the king of literally his moniker was the king of all media. He was the highest paid guy that people listened to. And this dude was
the most controversial guy.
And he was marching Daniel Carver, the KKK guy, out there every week, and the guy was using.
Bro, just look at the shows. Yeah, look at the shows from back then, like the Morton Downey show, the Geraldo Rivera right. show. Like those were the precursors of Jerry Springer. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They were insulting each other, going off, because America was very aggressive. That's why grunge rock was so popular and gangster rap. Like, everything was very, you know what I'm saying? It was a whole different vibe, you know?
You know why it works, though? You know why it went like that? Our generation back then, the reason it worked is because enough of people could laugh at it. Like, you could find the humor in a lot of crass and offensive stuff. And because enough people could laugh at it, you weren't trying
to be offended. Right.
Right. Right. It's because enough of people found humor in some of these things, it was accepted. Fast forward 25, 30 years, and it's like, bro, it's almost like you can't be humorous anymore. You're offending too many people that are sitting there ready to be offended.
You know who was huge in the 90s, and you remember him? Remember Dice? Dice Clay,
of course. I knew that's what you're going to say, right? Yeah.
So the other day I was watching one of his, like, just a little bit of his stand-up. And I was like, bro, no way on earth would he be employed. None.
Well, think about Eddie Murphy. I think it was a special in 83 or something where he did a section about gay people. And the way he did it wouldn't fly today.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But it was a different era. And we weren't as sensitive or as fucking, you know, what?
We weren't sensitive.
We weren't as sensitive, and we weren't snowflakes like you have nowadays. That's the truth.
Let me tell you a poem. Okay, this is one of Dice Clay's poems, and he'd say this poem, and the crowd would just stand ovation pop. You ready?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Hickory dickory dock, the chick was sucking my cock. The clock shook two. I shot my goo and dumped her off at the next block. Oh. Like, imagine a guy at the Oscars doing that bit.
No, this is my favorite. This is my favorite because everybody would chant along with him, almost like, have you ever been to the Rocky Horror music show
movie? Yes.
And everybody's chanting shit? Well, they were chanting with him. Yeah. Then at the end, I would love when he'd go, oh, that's pretty good. You guys know the rhymes. Here's a couple new poems for you. And then he'd break out some new ones.
Yeah.
Bro, he was great. There was nobody like him.
If you look, Jack, you said you took a look at a special the other day. If you see when they pan the audience, it wasn't just dudes.
Yeah, a lot of women.
White guys either. Yeah.
And they were all laughing, and they were hot too.
You know what it was? It was misogyny, but it was humorous misogyny. People were laughing at it. They weren't
they knew he wasn't serious. They knew this is a joke and I'm going to laugh. Now, I'm going to be offended. All right.
Right, right.
That's what they are now.
Jack and Jill went up the hill, each with a buck and a quarter. Jill came down with $2.50. Oh!
Oh, you fucking whore.
Yeah. I fucked her.
Tax day is coming.
Oh, no.
But if you sign up for Robinhood Gold's IRA with a 3% match, you can get up to $195 for the 2023 tax year.
Oh, yeah.
Sign up at Robinhood.com/boost by tax day to get the biggest contribution match on the market. Subscription fees apply.
Investing involves risk. 3% match requires gold for 1 year from first match. Must keep IRA for 5 years. Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Conan, guess what?
What up?
Another perfect product for summertime.
Right.
We're in the thick of summer, and you might be looking for wholesome, convenient meals to support sunny, active days. Factor. F-A-C-T-O-R is America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit and can help you fuel up fast with flavorful and nutritious ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You'll save time, eat well, and stay on track reaching your goals. So meal prep is like the thing these days. You skip the grocery store and you get fresh, never frozen, ready-to-eat food in 2 minutes. Meal prep is a great way to reach your fitness goals. So meal prep is the thing these days. Basically, if you want to skip the grocery store, you get fresh, never frozen, ready-to-eat meals in 2 minutes with Factor. So meal prep is a great way to reach your fitness goals, okay? And they give you fresh food prepared by chefs, stuff like, you know, broccoli, asparagus, leeks. And there's 34 restaurant-quality options. Meals like bruschetta shrimp risotto, steakhouse filet mignon. And it also caters to any type of diet that you have. It's very important. They have a calorie smart options, which are under 500 calories. They have keto options, which I'm a big fan of. They have vegan, vegetarian options, and protein plus options with over 30 plus grams of protein per order. All right. You can also mix them up. You can add some proteins with your vegan order if you want to. And also they have like over 40 snacks that you can try and breakfast options like apple cinnamon pancakes, bacon and cheddar egg bites. And they also have assorted juices, shakes, and smoothies. It's got everything. Let me give you a perfect example. Tons of girls at work use Factor, and all of them are getting in shape. I look at these girls, like, they come into work all the time, like they've lost weight in the summertime. I go, what are you doing? They say intermittent fasting and Factor meals. They're meal prepping. That's the easiest way to stay on point with your diet is meal prep, and Factor meals is the perfect option for it. So with Factor, you can rest assured you're making a sustainable choice. They offset 100% of their delivery emissions, source 100% renewable electricity for the production sites and offices, and feature sustainably sourced seafood in the meals. So this July, get Factor and enjoy eating well without the hassle. Simply choose your meals and enjoy fresh, flavor-packed meals delivered right to your door. They're not frozen, and they're ready in just 2 minutes. No prep. No mess. Take them and throw them away. You don't have to cook. You don't have to clean. It's that easy. So head to factormeals.com/K150. That's Factor Meals at K10050. And they're giving you 50% off. You have to try this at 50% off. That's code K150 at factormeals.com/K150 to get 50% off. You have to give this a try. If you're having trouble dieting, if you're having trouble meal prepping, try Factor Meals. Very effective.
Right. And we got sent just to try it, and I thought it was great. So I ordered some more. I'm a big fan of the short ribs, and they have a really good chicken teriyaki and beef and cheese enchilada. You can choose, you know what I'm saying? So been tried by all of us. We all like it. I don't know. What do you like there, Joe?
Well, it's funny that you said steak, because the one that I tried was the grilled steakhouse filet. And that was very, you know, it was almost restaurant like good. I was really, really surprised. It didn't taste like something.
That's the main thing. You can tell the difference in the quality. Sorry for cutting you off.
Yeah. No, it's cool. It didn't taste like something that you just heated up at home. You know, it tasted freshly made and all that.
So, you know, we're always looking out for you, whether it's your health, stay healthy, and this is a great way to do it. And you can get it at Factor Meals. Boom.
Next one is from Mike, and the title is Affirmative Action. Salutations and good tidings, guys. So now, affirmative action is a bad thing now. So here's my question. Why was affirmative action installed in the first place? Disco, I'm intrigued on your answer. Hashtag ceviche handy. This is very suspicious to me. The gentleman's name is Mike with no last name. I'm going to accuse Mike Holder of writing that. That's yeah.
Why did affirmative action start? Because they said it was systemically everything that like comes out of like if there's disparities in outcome is because of racism. So we're trying to make it fair by, you know, lowering standards for certain, or basically lowering the standards to get certain minorities in to make it more fair, because they were supposedly suffering from systemic issues. And I don't know, you know, the whole concept to me, systemic racism is very easy to say, but you have to like show me specific examples and context in the year 2023 where it exists in practice. You know what I'm saying? Because like you can sit there and point out, well, this person, you know, some people have disadvantages. It's like, yeah, well, some people from the same race have, you know, well, like I think Conan mentioned recently. Like you think Bronny James is having a rough time growing up? Like you can point like you could point to a guy like Bronny James. Okay, well, what systemic problems is he facing? It's like, well, none. He's actually very privileged. So it's like, okay, well, then you could open up an argument. Says, well, does privilege have anything to do with racism? Because like, it seems to me privilege is like for people that are wealthy and the children of people that are wealthy across the racial spectrum. You know, so then what you're going to do is like, you're going to say, because some races are not wealthy and they're poor and they have disadvantages. Well, a lot of white people that are poor have disadvantages and face the same, those same issues as other minorities growing up. So it's like, you know, I just think affirmative action was a failed process because it breeds racism towards another race. You're punishing certain races to let others succeed. And I just don't think when we're talking about testing, school, stuff like that, I don't think that's fair. You know, like, because like we said, we have this common, I think we did the talks. We're like, what if 100 years from now, only 25% of the country's white? Then what do we do? We're going to start like having affirmative action for white people? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's why I don't think race is a, we should have affirmative action based on race. Now, people, poorer people, maybe. You know, but just to you know, draw the line of race. I'm like, there's so many factors that represent that the people's have things that have to do with people's lives. That just doing black and white, like base it on race. I don't agree with. What you call it?
Yeah, well, we had the affirmative act first. Before I continue, what do you think, Joe?
I think at the time that it was instituted, it made sense because there was, you know, difficulty for you know, a black guy to get into the police force or maybe a black girl to get into a certain college and stuff like that.
Bro, so just about any minority, not just a black guy.
Yeah. Well, so they put the thumb on the scale a little bit to try to even things out. But I don't think it's necessary anymore. I agree with the ruling. And I think college admissions should just be based off academics for sure. You know, we can't continue the process of passing kids even when they fail all the way up into college. You know, oh, well, you're going to fit this quota, so go ahead and go to Penn State or whatever. It doesn't make sense to me. It seems destructive.
Here's what doesn't make sense to me. In my opinion, it devalues the success of minority people that have been successful. You know what I'm saying? Because like I see people, for example, see a guy like Booker T, right? That had a rough upbringing, something succeeded, got over on his merit, on his skill, and became a success, right? And I would just think that, like, you know, people that think like, okay, well, there's other black people that we should elevate to the spot because Booker got a spot. Like that's what I think affirmative action's like goal is like, we need more Booker T's. Like, well, Booker was very skilled. Are you just trying to say, well, we need more Booker T's because like Booker T's a black guy. We need more black guys. Like, well, a lot of Booker was a better performer than most of the black guys on the roster. We're supposed to just like push them too. They didn't have the same skill level. You know, that's what I think affirmative action goes wrong. It's like, you know, if your skill level isn't as good as somebody else's, like, I don't think you should get the spot just because of your race. You know, that's the way I look at it, because I've seen, you know, but we me and Conan were in a business where, you know, professional wrestling is pretty much a meritocracy, because if you were good enough, you kept progressing and stuff until you got to the top spots. It's like Eric Bischoff and Vince McMahon had a full view of a roster of professional wrestlers out there, and they chose guys like me and Conan because we were, you know, we were more popular. We did stuff that did were just better than other wrestlers, and it was all on merit, all on skill, and all on the work ethic that we had. You know, that's the way I think everybody should be judged in all aspects of life. Yeah, you know, what do you think, Conan?
Yeah, I don't think I have an answer. I just think that we do need to get together and see if there's any truth to that. But we do know for a fact that from the beginning, and I spoke about this on the Affirmative Action Program, so if you want a more in-depth, detailed explanation, please check out that show, Affirmative Action on K100 Talks. But at the end of the day, like I said, starting with the African Americans who were forced into slavery and going up to the fact that every nationality from Joe's Irish to your Italian, bro, there were Italians that were being lynched. They were made fun of them because they couldn't speak the language. They were taking their jobs. It's always been like a constant thing, and it's part of our DNA, where then the whatever flow of immigrants are in that country are the ones that are getting the heat for everything, and the ignorant believe it, you know? Like now it's like the Mexicans and, you know, but anyway, and the Middle Easterners, and you Central can't generalize America's like that.
Central Americans.
So what happens is, well, let me tell you, you generalize everybody and you start a hysteria on something that isn't true. Yes, there are criminals that are here from Central America, but most of them are trying to get away from a political and economic and violent situation and somewhere where they can live and raise their fucking kids. They're not coming here to rip people off. Of course, there's always going to be a bad seeds in every fucking lot. But at the end of the day, you got to remember a lot of immigrants started behind the eight ball. There was a while where they were the Chinese Exclusion Act, where they wouldn't let them into the country. They wouldn't give them work. They were, bro, like I've said this before, when I was a little kid and I didn't really understand it, you know, there was a sign that said, no pets, no Cubans, you know, that like this apartment that we were going to rent. So there were places where they would not rent the black people. There were projects that were just for lower class, you know, black people, and they didn't have a good education. They didn't have a father at home. And they were just, so a lot of people did start behind the eight ball, you know, but how do we make that better? I'm not sure. But bringing in people that are less skilled or less qualified is not the answer.
Conan.
Yo, what up?
Do you remember the classic physiques, like the old school bodybuilders of the golden era, like in Venice Beach in the 70s?
Yeah, like Frank Zane and Perigno and Arnold and Draper and all those guys.
Yeah, 50 years on, and we're still looking at those guys as a gold standard. And you know what's crazy? They didn't have creatine, pre-workout, fat burners, like a lot of the other popular supplements you see today. But one supplement, I did not know this, they all used was desiccated liver, because it's packed with amino acids for muscle growth, vitamins and minerals for health and immunity, but it's also proven to cause a huge increase in red blood cells, which means you recover quicker, have more endurance, and get better pumps. That is why I consider it a must for all these iconic bodybuilders. Our friends at Legacy Sports Nutrition have just added desiccated liver from grass-fed cows to their world-class supplement lineup, but they've also gone a step further and introduced Essential Alpha, a grass-fed beef organ complex. Pound for pound, beef organs are the most nutritious food available, particularly for active men. That's a shoot, because liver is the healthiest thing you can eat. And Legacy believes in celebrating masculinity and maximizing male potential. Legacy, as you know, is owned and operated by Nick on probation, Aldis. And let me tell you, I talked to him about this, and he is super excited to finally be able to bring this to the market. And they've been working on the formula for a while, and he's been really singing the praises of this stuff. And can you ever think of a time when he wasn't ever in shape? I mean, if you're looking for a perfect supplement to help you build muscle, have more energy, and boost your immune system, and bring out your inner alpha, then you need to try Essential Alpha. Available right now at LegacySubs.com, and always use the code K100. Gets you 10% off and to help support this show. That's LegacySupps.com and use the code K100 at checkout. And I'm a big fan of liver, and I'm definitely going to start using this product.
The great thing about Legacy Subs, which, boy, they've been with us that long because people keep buying their shit, or if not, they wouldn't be throwing no ads on our show. People like their products. We, all of us, use their products. They have everything. Anything that you can imagine, the list is too long, but anything to help you with your brain power, pre-workout, protein drinks. I mean, they, from the A to the Z. And the great thing for the females out there, they have a supplement line just for females, which is curated by his wife, Mickey James. So check either one of them out, you know, get your supplements on. Legacy Supps. Boom.